17, 24. You guys excited today? Man, I'm excited. The word is good. Ooh-wee. Matthew 17, 24. And it says, and when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And he said, yes. And when they had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes from? Their sons are from strangers. Peter said to him, from strangers. And Jesus said, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish out that comes up first. And when you have opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Is there any limit to how God can get his resources to you? If you're willing. Now, I tell you, Peter, had he heard this, if we'd have heard that from the Lord, how many of us would go, what? Go fishing? And there's money in a fish's mouth? And go, I ain't got time for this. And miss out on a blessing. I mean, I'll tell you what, you never know how God is going to meet your need, huh? We need to be walking in a close, intimate walk with God and do what He tells us to do. No matter how far-fetched it may seem, He might say, I've got a real financial need. And the Lord might say, go down to Walmart and stand in front of the food side of the door there, you know, on that side of Walmart, and just stand outside. I just want you to stand out there. How many of us would be able to obey that? Because you don't know that God may have spoke to somebody and says, I've got somebody who's going to be standing there waiting for you to give them X. And then they get there and they'll go, well, this person hadn't shown up. I mean, that person's obedient. And that, well, I guess. And your provision was not fulfilled. And you've got to be able to trust God that He can get it to you. And not think it's silly for Him to give you directions on something. You know, we were sitting there behind, some of you have heard this story before, but we were sitting there, we had ordered some food from Taco Bell. And we pull around, and there's a big old giant SUV in the front of us. And while they're sitting there, time goes on and on and on. I mean, sheriffs are sitting back there going, what? I mean, would they order the whole store or what? I mean, what is taking so long to fulfill this order? And we're making jokes. I mean, we're sitting there for quite a while. I mean, probably a good 10, 15 minutes at least that. And so we're just badgering the situation and we're making fun of it. And we're like going, oh, man. So finally, we see them in bags and bags of food. It's coming through the window. We went, oh my gosh, they did buy out the store. Why didn't they just go in and order it? Why'd they have to do it at the drive-in? I mean, we just... So they pull up, and we pull up in to get our food. And when we go to give them our card, they said, oh, I'm sorry, the people in front of you paid for your meal because they knew they were holding you up. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, was that humbling. Whew. So from then on, if the line's long, I just go for it. Praise God. Take your time. There could be a blessing at the end of this. Hallelujah. Well, as you give today, I want you to do it in faith. I want you to do it believing God. I want you to do it in such a way that you know that God meets your needs. Do it in a worshipful way to where, God, I know You're the one that supplies my needs. You're the one that makes me rich. You're the one that provides me with all my resources. I'm going to worship You back with my tithes and my offerings. I'm going to worship You, worship You, worship You. So many of the saints back in the day, I mean, whether it be Jacob or Abraham or Isaac, they all worshiped God with their tithes and their offerings. It wasn't a law. It was before the law. They did it to worship Him and to acknowledge Him, that You're the one that meets my needs. You're the one that's taking care of me. It was a form of worship. It wasn't, you know, God didn't say, you don't give me 10% and then I'm going to take it out in doctor bills. I'm going to destroy your barley fields. I'm going to do this and that to you if you don't give. They did it as a form of worship. God didn't even threaten them. He didn't even ask that of him. They did it as a form of worship. And so God loves a cheerful giver, not one grudgingly or of necessity. Just give worshipfully to God. And just give Him the glory and the honor. Father, we just thank You for all the provisions that You have for us, Lord. We know that You can meet our needs according to Your riches and glory. Whether it comes out of a fish's mouth, whether it comes out of whatever source, Lord, You are always able to meet our needs according to Your riches and glory. And so, Lord, we depend on that. Lord, we look to You for our resources, and we worship You this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. This has been our main text as we're talking about prayer. We're talking about praying. And the disciples say something here that's very interesting. In Luke 11:1 says, "Now it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place," talking about Jesus. Jesus was praying and the disciples were observing Him praying. And they've been observing Him now for maybe a year or more. And as they are, they're noticing that Him praying is getting results out here in the physical world. That there's a correlation between praying and getting results on the other side. And so they're saying he was praying in a certain place, and when He had ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples." Praying isn't necessarily an automatic thing that we know. Obviously, we need to be taught how to pray, don't we? And the disciples were saying here, "Jesus, we want to know how to pray. Not just spit words out into the air, but know how to do it effectively and doing it according to God's will." Because how many know that if we can pray according to God's will, we can get results? If you're not praying according to His will, you're not going to get His results, are you? He's not going to answer something that's not His will. But we can know His will. And we can know how to pray. And Jesus, notice that Jesus didn't say, "Oh, come on, guys, you just talk to God. It's just something that you just do. And what is it there to teach you?" But He didn't do that, did He? In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, go to Matthew chapter 6 now. Here's Matthew's account of it. So we know by Luke's account that all of this in Luke 6, all of chapter 6, was a answer to the request that the disciples made, teach us how to pray. And notice in 6:9, "In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Notice that Jesus didn't say, come on, guys, you just talk to God. I mean, whatever. No, he said, okay, let me give you a sample prayer. Let me give you something to go by. There is a way to pray. There is a specific way to pray. It isn't just flipping something out into the air and expecting God to respond to it, is there? But Jesus said there is a way to pray, isn't there? And so we've been examining ways of praying. Now, we really haven't gotten to that. We're still talking about why pray. Why are we praying? What's the purpose of prayer? This, you know, so many of us, the reason why we don't pray is because we don't think God's listening to us. God's going to have His way no matter what I say. So what's the point of spending all this time praying? What's the point of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and praying for an hour if He's going to do what He wants to do anyway? Isn't that the attitude that we have? And that's simply not true. In fact, what the disciples observed about Jesus was is that based on the things that He prayed, the Father moved in His ministry. So they saw a correlation there between Him, Jesus praying, and the move of God in His life. And they said, we want to have that for our lives. We want to be able to have the move of God in our lives. And we can see that if we pray right, if we pray the way God means us to pray, teach us how to pray. Even John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. So there is a proper way to pray, isn't there? Now, I don't pretend to know all the answers concerning prayer. I'm not the Bible answer man on prayer. But what I do know, what I can share with you, I'm going to share with you, all right? And the results that I've gotten. One of the most, we've talked about, one of the biggest reasons why we don't pray is this misunderstanding of God's sovereignty. And we were just talking about that. God's going to do what He wants anyway, so what's the point of praying? And that is not true in the earth. God does not just do whatever He feels like doing. He has, in His sovereignty, relinquished to us an authority in the earth. And He wants to work with us. And we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to talk about partnership with God in the earth. That we partner with God. We partner with God in the earth. He doesn't do anything in the earth unless He's partnering with somebody. Now, I know for some people they're going, that's a heresy. God's sovereign. He can do whatever He wants. Yes, He can. And in that, He has given the dominion of this earth to men and chosen to partner with us. So when we pray and we're seeking God and we know His will, we can partner with Him in the earth and bring heaven, the will of heaven into the earth. And Jesus actually prayed that here. He says, Thy kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's His purpose for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. How much of that's going on in the earth? His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a lot of turmoil here on this earth that's not His will, is it? We need to be praying that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, I pray that. You should be praying that. That His will be done. If it's automatically done, then why do we pray it? So this is important for us to understand. Notice in James 4:7, he says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice that we play a part in the earth, that we must submit to God, and we must resist the devil. If we don't do that, what happens? We're not going to get God's results in our lives, huh? We must resist the devil and we must submit to God. So obviously we play a role in the earth, don't we? 2 Peter 3:9, we talked about this last week. Knock down some sacred cows. 2 Peter 3:9 says, for the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Notice that if He had His will in the earth, nobody would perish. That everybody would be in the kingdom. But we know that's not true, is it? So God's will is that no man should perish, and yet they're perishing more than they're not perishing, aren't they? So we play a role, and we're going to be talking about that today. We looked at Asa, which I think that's a great now stepping stone off to what we're going to talk about, how prayer is a partnership with God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 14. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read this. You can read this. I'll just give you the synopsis of what's going on. But Asa takes over the kingdom of Judah, and while he's there, he decides that I'm going to have a relationship with God. The kingdom of Judah is going to have a relationship with God. And so they start tearing down the altars of the pagans and whatnot, and start erecting altars unto God. He started some reforms and all this. And then the Ethiopians and the Nubians decide they're going to attack Judah. And they're a million men strong. A million. Plus 300 chariots are coming at them. They're going, we're overwhelmed. What are we going to do? And what ends up happening, he turns to God and says, God, we can't do this in our own strength. I need your help. I need you to come in here and deliver us because we don't have a strong enough hand to handle this. And God moves on his behalf. God turns the Ethiopians, and not only does he turn them and defeat them, but they're able to go in and they're able to conquer others of their enemy, gather all the spoil, and bring it home. They went above and beyond. God went above and beyond even what he asked for. All he wanted was protection from these Ethiopians. Not only did he get protection, but they were defeated, and they were able to take over other enemy cities, and they were able to bring home all the spoil. See, when you covenant with God, when you partner with God in the earth, when you walk into his will, I'm telling you right now, above and beyond is what God can do in your life. If you're willing to partner with him in the earth. Now, do we know that's true? Well, look at chapter 16 now. Flip over to chapter 16. Same guy, Asa. Same guy. But now the Syrians, Israel is coming against Judah. A much smaller force. They're not as mighty. He's feeling like, well, you know, if I just allied with somebody, we could easily tackle this problem. And so he doesn't even consult God. He doesn't even look in God's direction. He goes and he grabs out of the treasury all the silver and his gold, and he goes to Syria and says, if you would help us, we can turn Israel away and we can have the victory here. God didn't even charge him for the Ethiopians. In fact, if anything, God paid him. Better deal. Now he's having to pay somebody to covet with him, and he got the same results. He was able to turn the enemies away from him. But look at God's response. In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Let me just go ahead and just read verse 7. Prophet goes down to talk to him, and at that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. See, if he had depended on God to deliver him from Israel, not only would he have gotten that, but as a bonus he would have been able to capture and destroy Syria too. God had a plan. Probably would have taken all their spoil and got a nice big paycheck again. But instead he covets with the enemy. And now, and as you read on through the history of Israel and Judah and whatnot, Syria is a thorn in their side over and over and over and over again. And it was God's plan to say, as I deliver you from this, I am also going to topple this so that you'll never have a problem with them ever again. And listen to what God says here. He says, were the Ethiopians, verse 8, were the Ethiopians and the Lubans not a huge army and a very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, He delivered them into your hand. Watch this. Verse 9. You ought to commit this to memory. I mean, this is, you know, write this as a card and pin it on your mirror in your bathroom. So that as you're brushing your teeth, you see that. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Wow. He's looking for people to partner with Him. He's looking for people that would include God into their lives so He can move and be strong on your behalf. And how many times when we run across problem situations and we have things in our lives and I can handle this, and you use all the manipulation and all the power and all the scheming in your life because you know how to do this and you know how to take care of this, that this isn't an overwhelming problem. I don't need to take this to God. And God's left out in the cold. He's going, look, I've got something bigger and better. You might be able to handle it and you might be able to solve your problem, but that's all you're going to get out of it. But how many examples do we see here that God will not only take care of the situation, but bless you right along beside it and do abundantly beyond what you could ask or think? And we're missing the blessing of God because we're not partnering with Him in the earth. What an opportunity here. An offer. I mean, He's looking to and fro over the earth, looking for you. That's willing. He wants it worse than you do. Man, I read that and I said, look no further. Look no further. Right here. That's where we need to be. Look right here, right here. That's why I say you need to post that. You either commit it to memory or you need to post it up on your mirror until it does. And then you read that every day so that you declare and say, look no further, Lord. I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'm your person. You're looking to and fro. It stops right here. Remind yourself every day He's looking to and fro. He is operating on your behalf. He wants to partner with you in the earth. Wow. Is that awesome or what? That's a good God. That's God who's good to us, isn't He? He's looking to champion our cause in the earth, which is His cause. So let's look at now, prayer is partnership. Let's look at... We've looked at that already. Prayer is partnering with God to do His will in the earth as it is in heaven, fulfilling what Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. Prayer is God and man working together in the earth, releasing and establishing His will in the earth. Man working independent from God becomes religion. Okay, I got two people agree with me on that. God, you know, man walking independently in the earth is just nothing more than religion. If God ain't in it, then it's just religion. It's man-made theories and air castles, isn't it? It's not God in the earth. And God works independent from man. When He does that, it's judgment. It's His wrath. And right now, we're not in the wrath, are we? There's going to come a day when it will be. Read Revelations. His wrath is coming. But it's stored up right now. It's His grace and mercy. He's looking to and fro for loyal hearts that He can show Himself strong on behalf. That's what He's after. So you don't want God working independent in the earth from man. You don't want judgment and wrath. But there's going to come a day when that's what's going to happen. Judgment and wrath will come. But right now, we're in the grace. We're in His mercy. We're in His kindness. Remember we read there in Peter, 2 Peter, where he wishes that no man should perish. In fact, it says, I'm holding my hand back from my wrath. I'm holding my hand back so that no man should perish. I mean, I'm telling you what, I'm a believer at this point where really I think that all the prophecies have been fulfilled for his coming. I think the only thing that's keeping him from coming right now is that he's staying his hand so that no one will perish. He's trying to get as many people into the kingdom before he pulls the plug on this thing. And we're out of here. And his wrath falls on the earth. He's waiting patiently. And in the meantime, this earth's going to get pretty nasty. Things are going to get pretty bad around here before God finally pulls the plug on things. And we're never told in Scripture that we will not suffer persecution. He says anybody who wants to live a godly life is going to suffer persecution. Jesus says, hey man, I'm being persecuted and I'm the master. And the servants are not greater than the master. We're going to suffer persecution. We need to have our hearts prepared. We've had it pretty easy here in this country. And I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm just saying it to prepare you. We need to be prepared. Our hearts need to be prepared so that we're not offended, so that we don't back away, but that we stay strong. Well, let's get away from the serious stuff and let's get away from this judgment stuff and let's get on to the mercy and the grace stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That's God's loving kindness and His mercy. He's holding back. You know, I really feel that, you know, in my prayer time, God said this to me. He says, there's going to be persecution while I'm waiting this thing out to get as many people in the kingdom as possible. Will you covenant with me? Would you be willing to give your life so that I can have one more day to get somebody into the kingdom? That's pretty strong talk. Are we willing to suffer persecution, that God would stay His hand and wait that another day, another week, another month, another year, so that more people can come into the kingdom? And in turn, though, it's going to require, we're going to suffer for it. And it's not that He hasn't abandoned us. It's not that you know, this isn't His wrath on us. This is the wrath of men on us. And He has not abandoned us just because persecution comes. I keep getting back on this. There must be a need to say that. I don't know. 2 Corinthians 3:4. For when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through him you believed, as the Lord gave each one. Notice it's the Lord that sends the ministers. It's Lord that has sent you and I out to be able to go out there and either plant the seeds of the gospel into people's lives or watering that, but it's God who makes the increase. And it's God that's partnering with us. We got to do the watering. We got to do the planting. But it's God who makes the increase. Do you see a partnership there? It isn't us that does all the work, and it ain't God that's doing all the work. Well, you know, brother, that person would get saved. If it's God's will for him to be saved, then he'd get saved. There's a huge doctrine out there of that. And it's simply not true. God has sent us out. God has sent us to talk to people. I tell you, the most effective ministers of ours are not the ones that go door to door knocking. I don't know if you've heard the statistics on all that. The most effective ministers are people that see you living your life on a regular basis. Usually it's relatives. They see who you are and what you do, because you can't hide who you are, and you're walking around in a love walk, because they don't know you when you knock on their door. They don't know you from Adam. But when somebody sees you walking the love life, walking as Jesus walked, when you're setting the example, it opens a door for their hearts, and they go, what do you have? I want that. That's the most effective ministers that there can be, is that you're walking a love walk demonstrating something that's different from the rest of the world. Well, you have a right to be angry. Why aren't you angry? I forgive them. What? You have a right to sue them. Why aren't you suing them? Nope. I'm going to love them right where they're at. That's kind of hard. Hard to take. A lot of people wouldn't want to go there. But we need to learn how to walk the love walk. That is our strongest witness. Man. So here's Apollos. Now look here. Paul says, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then either he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he's not discrediting the work that they're doing, but he says, what good is it if God isn't making the increase? And then if you go on down into that chapter, really, he starts talking about, in verse 11, for no other foundation can one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one working will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So, even the quality of the work that we do, are we doing it as unto the Lord? Are we doing it for a purpose? Are we doing it to get our backs patted? Are we doing it on our own motivation? Are we trying to gain something out of it? And God knows our heart, but He wants us to partner with Him in the earth for the increase. If we're partnering with Him and we're working with Him and we're doing His will and we're taking His direction and we're doing what He's called us to do and we're partnering with Him, it's gold and silver and precious stones. But if we're out there just trying to put on a show and independent from God, it's just religion. And it's just wood, hay, and stubble. Amen? So God wants to partner with us in the earth. Look at, let's read on. Now he who plants and he who waters is one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. We're partnered with Him, co-laborers in the earth, aren't we? You are God's field, you are God's building. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. After he writes this letter to him, he writes a second letter to the Corinthian church. And he makes this statement in chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Notice he says that we are workers together with him. So we are co-laborers with God into the earth, aren't we? We are partnering with God. Is it important that we play our role? Is it important that we include God in our lives and we include our lives in Him? And that we're co-laborers with Him in the earth. In Genesis 1:26, let's put some explanation to this now. Genesis 1:26. Let's start from the beginning, because after all, that's where everything stems from, isn't it? Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26 says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So you have authority over every creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them. This is one of the first things that God ever filled their ears. First time they ever heard anything. This is the first thing that God said to them was this. He blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. What is he saying there? He's saying, let us partner together in the earth. Let us work together in the earth. I'm giving you dominion over the earth. And we're going to look at some scriptures here that God owns the earth, but he's given the authority and the dominion of it to us. We are stewards of his creation. Let's go to Psalms 8:3. So it was God's desire from the very beginning that God and man works together in the earth. How many believe that he hasn't changed his mind on that? This is all part of walking with God in the earth, having a relationship with God. In Psalms 8:3, when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. And you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, that have put things under his feet. All the sheep and the oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Notice right here, we're seeing that God created all of his creation, but yet he's given dominion and authority over his creation. And it says that man has been made a little lower than the angels. The word angels there is Elohim. That was used 2,346 times as capital G God. Why the translators translated that angels? I can only guess that they were scared of the king. I mean, what's the king going to think, King James, if we say we're a little lower than God himself, just under God himself, just a little lower than God? We can't say that. We've got next to think about. I think they just put angel in there just to say, well, because nobody's going to believe that. And I'll tell you what, you look at other translations. I don't know, everybody had like a New Living Translation and some of these others. They come right out and say God, a little lower than God, capital G God. That's our position. We're not lower than angels. Angels don't have authority over the earth. They're not partnering with God in his creation. They're servants sent forth to serve those, even us, who are heirs of salvation. They don't have this kind of authority. We do. And we're made a little lower than God himself. And we have dominion over this earth. So we need to have that established on the inside of us. That we have dominion. And that we give account to God and God alone. Not to angels. Not to the devil. Not to any other spiritual being, but God himself. We're a little lower. We're just a little under God. And we're to give account to God. And we're partnering here in this earth, aren't we? Look at Psalms 89:11. Psalms 89:11 says this: the heavens are yours. The earth is also yours. The world and all its fullness, you have founded them. So this scripture is saying that God owns the earth. He owns the heavens. He owns everything, doesn't he? Look at Psalms 24 now. Psalms chapter 24. Verse 1. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Once again, proclaiming that God owns his creation. He owns the heavens. He owns the earth. Well, look at Psalms 115 now. Psalms 115. Psalms Psalms 115, 16. Psalms 115. Yeah, 115. Oh, I see what you mean. 115. 115. Verse 16. Sorry. I should have said it differently, huh? The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. How we rectify that? Because God owns His creation. He owns the earth. He owns the heaven. But He has given us stewardship over this earth, hasn't He? It's a partnership in the earth. God has ownership of the planet and His creation. But He has given stewardship to the children of men. So ownership plus stewardship equals partnership. So it's important that we pray, isn't it? It's important that we partner with God in the earth to get His will from heaven into the earth. Am I making my case? Is it making sense? So God's power changes the world. I mean, God has infinite power and He's willing that nobody should perish, that His will be done in the earth. It's 100% in His heart for that to happen. But we have authority on the earth that He wants to work through. He wants to work through us. So God's power is available, but we who have the authority need to call upon His power. And that's the partnership that we have in the earth. God's power by grace to change our health, our wealth, our every situation, and other people's situations. But it takes us joining with that grace, joining with His power, joining with His will to bring it from heaven to earth. You seen the importance that we play on this earth? We play an important role, don't we? So when we're praying, and when we're getting up and we're praying, and or staying laid up and praying, or whenever we pray, it's valuable to God. He's wanting to partner with us. We're not just wasting our time when we pray. God hears our prayers. In fact, He desires us to pray and to pray His will in heaven down to earth. We have the faith, He has the grace. We have the authority, and He has the power. It's God and sons on the earth. Yeah. You can become anything. You can overcome anything. Addictions, poverty, it doesn't matter. When you're partnering with God, you can overcome all things. You can be victorious in this world. And not just you, but you can intercede for others. And we'll get into talk about intercession. You can intercede for others to help them have victory in their life too. As we partner with God into the earth. Ephesians 3:20. In Ephesians 3:20, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Ephesians 3:20. Well, in the New King James it says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Notice He wants to do exceedingly above what we can ask or think. Notice we need to ask. We need to play a role in that. But there's a power that works in us that needs to be released by us asking. Huh? We're playing a role in this. Listen to the Amplified on this. "Now to Him who, by in consequence of the action of His power that works, that is at work within us," so His power is at work within us, "is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly, far above, far over and above all that we dare ask or think." Now see, we need to dare ask or think, don't we? In fact, it goes on to say here in the Amplified, "infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams." We've got the power at our fingertips. We need to dream. We need to ask. We need to release that power that is so wanting to work on our behalf. God wanting to partner with us into the earth. We play a role. We play a role into the earth, don't we? The highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Infinitely beyond that. So there is more than enough power to take care of what it is that you need. More than enough power to take care of whatever the situation is that you're praying about in the earth. Is not been true for Asa? He wasn't even a born-again guy. Not only did he get delivered from the Ethiopians, but he got bonus check afterwards. How much more does he want to bless us if we're willing to include him? Wow. Just being aware of this, I think, is important, isn't it? This is a partnership in the earth. So let's embrace him. Let's go to Isaiah 59:16. Isaiah 59:16. Now, in reading commentaries and whatnot, this I haven't had one yet not agree with this, that this is a prophecy of Jesus. He saw that there was no man. See, God's wanting to covet with a man in the earth, and he's saying, I can't find one. He's telling Isaiah, I just can't find an intercessor here, an adequate intercessor in the earth. So what am I to do? Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and then there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, verse 16, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, and his own righteousness is sustained him. What he's talking about is Jesus. That Jesus is going to be that intercessor into the earth. That he's going to be able to intercede where no man can intercede. You know, so many of us, we're weak where we're at. We want to be intercessors. We want to be people that partner with God in the earth. But we're also weak. So God sent Jesus into the earth, and watch what he has done. Go to 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He has sent Jesus and he has fulfilled that he is the mediator between God and man. Go to Hebrews 7:25. Go to Hebrews 7:25. Let's watch this fulfillment. We know that Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And in Hebrews 7:25, he says this, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified because it's so sweet in the Amplified. Therefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. He's literally saying here that Jesus came as an intercessor and he took holy God's hand and he took weak man's hand and he brought them together in him to be able for us to partner and covenant with him in the earth. And Jesus is that go-between. You might say, well, I don't feel very worthy. I don't know if God really wants to partner with me. He's doing it through Jesus, not through your He's doing it through Jesus. He sees you through Jesus. There's a partner there in Jesus. He's the one who is our intercessor. Amen. He's the one who brought this partnership together. You're worthy. He wants to partner with you. He's made it available to you. And you are worthy to partner with him in the earth. Wow. What a good God we serve, huh? What a good God we have. Man. For the sake of time, I want you to see, Go to Acts 10:37. How did Jesus function on the earth? He came as the Son of Man. Now, a lot of people say, well, the reason why Jesus did so many miracles is because he was the Son of God, and I'm not the Son of God, so therefore, you know, he was God in the flesh, and that's why all these great miracles happened. And I'm here to tell you that is not the reason why great and mighty wonders happened through his ministry and what he did. He did it by partnering with his Father. He partnered with his Father in the earth. In Acts 10:37, Peter is preaching to Cornelius. And he says this in Acts 10:37, that the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judah, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now, what happened after the baptism, John 3:32-33, Jesus goes to John the Baptist and he gets baptized, and immediately when he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends on him. In fact, it even says that as the Holy Spirit descends on him, so you don't turn there, I'll just read it to you. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. It wasn't just a sign that this is the acceptable Son of God in the earth. He remained upon him. Why? So that he could partner with him in the earth to do great signs and wonders. What did Jesus tell his disciples before he ascended into heaven? He says, I want you to go into Jerusalem. I want you to wait there so that you can have the Holy Spirit come upon you. So you can partner with my Father in the earth the way I partnered with my Father in the earth. Man, that ought to make you just woohoo. In the same way God partnered with Jesus in the earth, he's partnering with you in the earth. And it's no less or no more than how Jesus functioned in the earth. Jesus said, I'm the Son of Man while I'm here on this earth. The Son of Man. So he says that after the baptism with Acts 10:37. Go to Acts, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Notice that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He didn't do it independent from his Father, did he? He didn't do it independently from the Holy Spirit working in his life either, did he? And we have all that to us, to partner with the Father in the earth. Just the same way Jesus partnered with his Father in the earth, we partner with our Father in the earth. There's no difference, is there? And look at the great and mighty wonders. So whatever level we're willing to partner with him, I believe the signs and wonders are going to follow. But I think so many of us don't know that God is partnering with us in the earth. He's eager to confirm the word with signs and wonders following. Without turning there in Acts 1:6, for the sake of time, I'll just read Acts 10:1. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, which was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, and he gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Did him praying and giving alms affect what God did in the earth? There was a whole lot of Greeks and Romans roaming around on the earth, but that's the one Peter was sent to. Man. And I think it interesting that as you read on there, that why didn't the angel that came to talk to Cornelius didn't just preach the gospel to him? But he sends Peter and makes him make a big long journey to share the gospel with Cornelius. Why? Because it's not up to angels, even God himself, to preach the gospel in the earth. That's not his part. His part is what he already did for us and his power of the gospel to get people born again. But we have to partner with Him in the earth to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. And as we share it, His power comes in and manifests itself in such a way that it causes people to be born again, and mighty signs and wonders follow those, confirming that word. So God's doing His part. He's at the ready. But we need to partner with God in the earth. Saul of Tarsus. I mean, here he is going to persecute the Christians. He's on the road to Damascus. And Jesus Himself appears to Paul, or to Saul, and says, "What are you doing? Straighten up." And Paul goes, "Well, what would you have me do?" And Jesus said, "I want you to get born again. I died for your sins, and I want you to receive me as your..." Did He do that? He says, "You go on into Damascus, and there's a partner I have there that'll tell you. Because I don't have authority to tell you. Men have the authority to tell the gospel. He's got all the power. He's got a willing heart. He wishes that no man should perish. He's established His will, hasn't He? But we have to do our part. We have to partner with God. And when we agree to partner with Him, the power of God goes forth in a mighty way." Are you learning anything today? Man, this is good. This is a great revelation for us. Go to James 5 in closing. James 5:16. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read you Mark 16:20. And this is where Jesus was given His last commission to everybody. And He says this. After He gave His commission, then He ascended into heaven. And Mark cuts it short, but he says this, that they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Notice that they were doing their part by exercising their authority in the earth and preaching the gospel. And God, as a partner with man, confirmed it with His power. Authority and power working together to take care of His will be His will that's in heaven be done on earth. James 5:16, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. 5:16, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Boy, I mean, if that don't spell it out, I don't know what does. It says that when we're praying, when we're earnestly seeking God, when we're doing His will in the earth, when we're partnering with Him, His power is available to manifest that which we're praying. Wow. He's willing. Are we willing? And that's really what it boils down to, isn't it? In fact, he goes on in verse 17. He says, Elijah was a human being with a nature such as that we have, with all the frailties and all the difficulties in life, with feelings and affections and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. How many believe that it was Elijah that caused it not to rain? He doesn't have any power. But he can certainly go to He who does have power and who he's coveted with. And did tremendous feats there. And then he turns around and says, and then he prayed again in the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. Does God hear our prayers? Does God want to partner with us in the earth? He certainly does, doesn't He? Man, I tell you, the only thing that's limiting God in our lives is us. We're it. We are the variable here. He's all on. His spigot is full blast. He's all on. He's full bore. He's all the way. We're the ones that are adjusting whether or not we take our hose and bend it, how much we're going to let through the hose. Wow. Father, we just thank You and praise You. That man, You are man, you are so excited about us, and you're so excited about the things in this world and the things that are going on in your creation. Man, you made them that way. You didn't just make it just to forget us, but you made it for you to enjoy. And you enjoy our company. You enjoy our fellowship. You enjoy our interaction. And you created all of this divinely so that we and you could interact on a daily basis, 24/7, all the time, interacting with one another and manifesting the will of heaven into the earth. I love it that you set it up that way. That you just don't come in here and do things. But rather you want to walk with us. You want to talk with us. You want to teach us all things, guide us. Thank you, Father, for that. You are so good that you want to have an intimate relationship. So much so that heaven itself says, who is man that you would visit him? Who is man, this mere creation, that you want to spend time with him and give him dominion and work with him in the earth and care that much about him? I can tell you who he is. He's a little lower than Elohim. He's a man that has been placed with authority, that has been made in God's image, that God's ruling and reigning in heaven. And he wants us to rule and reign here on the earth as gods and sons. And that we're functioning together as a team, as a partner, having a loving relationship with each other and growing in our relationship as we continue to partner with you and walk with you. Walking not in the flesh, that's religion, but walking in the Spirit. That we're coveted together, we're partnering in the earth, and we give you the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is good. We need to have the kids come out of the... We want Joe and Amy to come on up and...